You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
This week, a group of environmentalists, First Nations, and local residents of the Peace River will tour Victoria, Vancouver, and Whistler to speak about their opposition to the proposed Site C Dam. The Site C is a proposed third dam on the Peace River. First proposed by BC Hydro in the 1970s, it gained traction in the 1980s as a source of power for export to the United States. After much public opposition, BC Hydro cancelled the project in 1993. They said it was too costly and environmentally unacceptable. But the project has now been revived and is in stage 3 of the approval process. 5 years ago, the estimated cost of the 60-meter-high dam was less than $3 billion. Since then, BC Hydro's estimate for the megaproject has ballooned to almost $8 billion. Gwen Johansson is a founder of the Peace Valley Environmental Association, which fought the original dam proposal and continues to oppose it. Her own property would be flooded if Site C goes ahead. Gwen joins me by phone from her home in the Peace Valley. Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning.
Can you describe the area of the Peace River that will be impacted by the proposed dam?
Well, it's a beautiful valley. And actually, a number of people, the Europeans who come through, the Americans that come through, describe it as such. It's not just those of us who live there who value, you know, the beauty of it and so on. And it's... Actually, some of the people that I was talking to very recently indicated that, as far as they were concerned, it was the most beautiful valley in North America. And it's, I think that it's sort of, there, it's dotted with islands, so there are little islands that are along the way which are extremely important, actually, for wildlife and that, their protection. And then the hills that are sort of on either side of it, it goes up to an escarpment, and they, the way they fold into one another, and the light is for whatever reason, the way the light reflects from the water, and it there is a special light that's in the valley, so it has a very unique feature just as far as the beauty of it is concerned. The way the hills fold into one another as you're driving through it, and so the Highway 29, which takes you from Hudson's Hope to Fort St. John, follows the river for the most part, so you have a good view of it as you go through. It is an east-west valley, and that east-west orientation is very important. That's what gives it the, or part of the reason anyway, that gives it the climate, the microclimate that it has, because it comes through the mountains. The warm air is able to follow that through and down through the valley. So we have a microclimate that allows the growth of vegetables and crops that are not so easily grown at that latitude in most cases. So it has a number of very unique features, and it's a gem, actually, in northern BC.
Now the dam that's being proposed for the area, Site C, is being promoted as clean energy. What are your key environmental concerns about the project?
Well, I think partly that is determined by what you're going to use it for. I mean, you know, there is a question about need, and we're told that we need the dam, and my question is, one of the things, anyway, is, okay, if we need it, what do we need it for? What are we going to use it for? And so you get glimpses of that sometimes, because a lot of this process has been closed. But, you know, evidently, you know, one of the things that we're told is that half of the electricity, for instance, would go up to the Horn River Basin to electrify the shale gas fields in the Fort Nelson area. So if we follow that scenario, then you send relatively clean electricity, not completely clean, certainly, to the Horn River Basin to extract natural gas, which is less clean. And then you send that natural gas to the Alberta oil sands to heat up huge quantities of water to make steam to extract the bitumen, which is dirtier than the natural gas. And the water, incidentally, that's used in that process is lost to the water cycle. It stays down there, or if it surfaces, it's so polluted that it has to be disposed of in deep disposal wells. So there's a huge issue of water here as well. And then if you continue that, if you're looking at the need and you look at the downward spiral that we're going through from electricity to natural gas to bitumen, and then we're going to take that bitumen and, if the plan is carried out, pipeline it to the coast to be carried away in tankers. So I think we need to examine that whole thing. I think we need to just stop and think, like, what are we actually doing here? So that's one of the concerns that we have, I think, is what this is going to be used for. And that has not been openly examined. As you know, this whole process, we used to have a public process where the public was in. We don't have that anymore. The legislation that was passed a year ago took all of that away from the public. So it's no, I think there were 11 projects, the biggest of those is Site C, that was taken away from the Utilities Commission. So it's no, and everything is the integrated electricity planning process plus the whole, and these 11 projects now simply go to cabinet where it's discussed behind closed doors. So the public is kind of taken out of the process. So now if you want to get, I think I sort of went off your question there. I think what you wanted to talk about was the environmental effects. And there are a lot of environmental effects to these, the land that would be lost to the flooding itself. There would be approximately, I think, you know, they give the figure 10,000 acres. I think we need to be able to get in to examine that, because there is additional land that would be lost due to the sloughing or the erosion or just being severed from the rest of an operation. For instance, you have a farming operation and you lose part of the lowlands, say, to flooding. And then some of the upper fields perhaps are cut off from the rest of the operation, and you can't use it, and maybe downsized because of some of the fields, for instance, might be gone. So I think there are some things that need to be looked at and scrutinized, and hopefully in a public forum, so that we can see what the actual damage to this would be.
You mentioned that the BC government closed a lot of the opportunities for public to participate in some of the legislation that they passed, taking oversight from the BC Utilities Commission. And I understand that now the project has sort of moved forward into stage three. What kinds of concerns do you have about that, the process where it is now?
Yeah, well, I think it's unfortunate that that was done, because I think that you know, this is an $8 billion project, and the resource is public. It's the BC Hydro ratepayers that are on the hook for the $8 billion. And so it seems to me that if you have the public owning the resource and the public responsible for developing the resource, you ought to let the public in. We aren't in anymore, and I think that's one thing that British Columbians ought to be really concerned about. What we do have, basically, the regulatory process, as far as we know, that would be gone through is environmental assessment, and there's the provincial environmental assessment, and there's the federal environmental assessment. The provincial one, I think the consensus among people who have participated in it is that it's not a particularly rigorous one. I don't believe that they have ever turned down a project. I think their process is basically to look at mitigation. The federal one is somewhat more rigorous, depending on what form is set up, and we don't know what the form is. We are hoping and assuming that it would be a full in federal panel review. We don't know that, and we also don't know, if it is a full panel review, what the terms of reference of that would be. So are we going to be able to look at cost, for instance? Are we going to be able to look at need? are we going to, you know, sort of, or are we going to be restricted just to the hooks that brought the federal process in, which would be the Navigable Waters Act and the fisheries. So I think the regulatory process has not been made public. I'm sure it's established, but it certainly has been made public. So we really don't know what we're trying to prepare for exactly.
And what do you think the larger discussion needs to be around the Site C Dam?
Well, I think, you know, really it's a matter, I think I sort of alluded to it there before, that we need to look at the need and if what we're going to use it for. Because, for instance, one of the things, as you mentioned in your introduction about the export question, and that arose again fairly recently, and about 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was, the BC government hosted a number of American legislators, senators, and financiers, and so on, and they came up to the northeastern BC. They were toured around and shown the different, I guess, resource potential in mining and gas and oil and electricity. And they visited the Bennett Dam. They visited the dinosaur, the Peace Canyon Dam, which is downstream, the second dam on the Peace River. And then they flew the valley that would be flooded by Site C and looked at the site of what potentially would be the third dam on the Peace River. And that was all in the with the objective, as I understand it, to interest in the Americans in buying buying into the development of all of the resources, and, you know, particularly in purchasing electricity. So the whole export question, that's another thing which I think that it was pushed vigorously by the province in recent years. My understanding is that that hasn't been as successful, perhaps, as they had hoped, although I don't have the details on that. So I think that we're at a stage where British Columbians really need to have a discussion, a debate, just a conversation about energy. Energy is crucial. We know that. But it's also interesting because food is crucial, too. Now, you know, in response to the energy question, we've said that the province has laid out that we not only have to be self-sufficient, but we also, by 2016, I think it is, we have to have 3,000 gigawatt hours of surplus. And it's interesting because energy is important, and there's no doubt about that, but food is also important. And British Columbia is only 47% self-sufficient in food. And you wonder about this debate, why there's so much emphasis on self-sufficiency on energy, and actually some of that doesn't really make any sense. And yet we sort of gloss over the fact that we're not at all self-sufficient in food. So I think that we need to sort of stop and have a look at ourselves and decide what we want to do.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Gwen Johansson from her home in the Peace River Valley. She was one of the founders of the Peace Valley Environmental Alliance.